Lord, just thank you for your day. Thank you for another new year, Lord. Just may it be a year filled with you. Lord, we pray for whatever we're doing, that we have you in the midst of it, in the middle of it. Lord, we want to always be focused on you. We pray for those who could not make it here, Lord, today, just for whatever reason, we just pray blessings on them. We pray for those who are not feeling well, just again, just a healing hand, your healing hand upon them, and let them know that you're in charge. In utmost, you know, your words be spoken here today, Lord, just not mine. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're starting a new book in the Bible. We finished our Jude, and so the new book is Revelation, right? Not Revelations. That S seems to just roll off the tongue, right? Anybody's ever, I make that mistake all the time, right? But it makes sense. But the full title is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, revelation, does anybody know what that means?
No.
No? Nobody? Anyone?
Like, aha.
Aha?
Exposed.
It is exposed. It's revealed or exposed or let known something that wasn't known before. So during the early church, when the, you know, right after Jesus was crucified, resurrected, he came up, and then the church age started, people often asked, what's next? You know, there were some who even thought, well, did I miss Jesus coming back? Was I bad? You know, I mean, things are getting really bad here, getting persecuted. Did I not make it? So these things were going through a lot of people's head. And then there's the Greek word for revelation is also the same word we get the word apocalyptic. Anybody know what that one is? What that means?
Apocalypse,
like end of the world.
Like a zombie.
Zombies, yeah, exactly like zombies. Which can be a very scary and intimidating word. No, you're not scared of zombies?
During COVID, I was hoping for zombies.
Okay, well, maybe it's a scared and intimidating word for me. But, and I feel like that's probably the main reason people typically do not want to read the book of Revelation. Because most of the time we just hear about the doom, right? You always hear about stories about doom, about this is going to be so bad. But just like most things, we can focus on the doom or we can look at the good, right? You know, the hope, the good is the hope in Jesus. And there's always hope in Jesus. You know, it's called Revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, I feel like people may be intimidated is in Revelations, there's a lot of symbolic visions or you know, John writes, it's very symbolic as far as what's going to happen. And he's very descriptive, but some of the descriptions are kind of out there. I mean, I'm sure we've all heard of them, right? And over the years, these descriptions have come up with a lot of different versions. So being afraid of not knowing our misinterpretation, you know, stops people from studying. For me, one of the biggest fears I have is to unknowingly misguide or mislead one of you guys. So know that I will always do my best never to have that happen. I mean, I did a word or two in my time up here, but I always try to fix it, you know, because we all make mistakes. But I do not want to mislead you.
Yeah.
So Revelation, oh, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. James, can you read that?
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So the Bible is there to help us, right? It's to equip us. The Bible is nothing to fear, but to embrace. You know, this is why we don't skip over parts. We don't leave out versions or leave out verses. Oh, I don't like that verse. I'm just going to leave it out. No, we can't do that. You need to take every verse because it makes a difference. Knowing that everything we read will help us grow. So Revelation chapter 1, 1 and 2. Ladies, I don't know. Do you want to read?
Not really.
Not really? Stephen, do you want to read?
I'll do it on the screen.
Okay.
So Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, thing which must shortly take place, and he set a...
this, he said, the significant, sent the signified, and signified, all right, and he sent and signified it
by his angels to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to those, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw.
So in these two verses, if we break it down, it tells us a lot. There's a lot there. It tells us the purpose of this letter. During the first century, like I said earlier, but the reason people were asking questions is because the persecution against Christians increased. Inside churches, problems increased. Suffering, spiritual warfare, false teaching, all increased. Christ had promised to return, but when, how, and what would it be like? Revelation was written to answer questions like these. Plus, as always, Scripture is always there to encourage people to continue hoping in Jesus. The letter is one of predictive prophecy. Did you know that prophecy can be a word from the past? It could be a word for the present, and it could be a word of something that's going to happen. Obviously, this is what's going to happen because it tells us these things will happen. The verse says, shortly take place. Now, this was translated from a term from back in the day. And it doesn't mean that it's going to happen within the next year. It doesn't give a time limit. What it's saying is that it, when it does happen, it's going to happen very quickly. You know, it's kind of like technology. Technology changes really quickly nowadays, doesn't it? Just about every week, you have to have an update on your phone, right? You know, and AI, it seemed like probably a year and a half ago, it was just a futuristic idea. Now I could place myself as an astronaut on the moon, right? And just float in space. You've used it before?
Once I used AI to make a baby jump off a building.
What? You could, yeah. And for a second, it almost looks, it's like, but it's like, no, that did not happen. But
you don't know.
Yeah. But what John is saying is that it's going to happen very quickly. And you could see it, especially today, as things are happening very quickly around us. The verse also tells us who this comes from. It came from Jesus himself. And it's confirmed by his angels, by his angel that he sent, and told to John, which has promised to tell us everything he saw. Right? So John traditionally is the Apostle John. You know, one of the first original 12. We've all heard of him, John, right? Yeah. You've heard of John, not your dad, John. But. John, the Apostle John. Now, this is what most people believe. Now, there's some who disagree and think it's another John, and there's arguments back and forth, but most people think it's the Apostle John what wrote this. Either way, I don't think it changes that it came from Jesus. You know, John's just a ghostwriter. Anybody know what a ghostwriter is?
A ghost that writes books.
No. Anyone? You know what a ghostwriter is? You think you know, but you don't want to say.
Ghost who writes.
No, if an author writes a book and then signs somebody's name and says, oh, this guy wrote it, he didn't really write it. It's a ghostwriter. You know, somebody else wrote that book.
Phantom writer.
Sure. Now, like I said, John was part of the original 12 apostles. Did you know that? Out of the 12 apostles, one killed himself. Y'all know who that is, right?
Yeah.
And then 10 were put to death for their faith. And one died of natural causes. So as tradition goes, John was that one who died of natural causes. So you might ask yourself, you know, his fellow apostles, they all had played the martyr and died for their faith, right? So why didn't John get persecuted?
Because he jumped off a cliff and natural causes of gravity, so he just died like that.
That was close. That was pretty on the spur, pretty good. But he did not escape persecution. Has anybody ever fried anything in a skillet?
Yes.
Right? What is it, like bacon, eggs, maybe corn tortilla making taco shells?
You mean like a pan?
Yeah, in a pan.
Yeah, I have grilled cheese on a pan.
Okay. Now, typically, especially the tacos, because there's a whole bunch of grease and oil, ever have those things where it just pops and it hits your skin, this little tiny drop hits your skin, and it feels really good, smooth, oily. Oh, what?
No,
it doesn't. you scream. You scream, right?
Scream? I don't. I just say ow.
Oh.
I just say ah.
You don't scream like a guy. Ow.
Oh. I scream like a girl.
Oh.
I wish I screamed like a dude.
That sounded like a K-pop guy.
Meeting time.
So imagine that. Now, the Emperor Rome, he sentenced John to death. So what he planned, he had this all big old plan. He put a pot of boiling oil in the middle of the Colosseum. And then, so that everybody could see, right? And then he drops John into it, just like a corn tortilla. Just drops him in there, right? But nothing happens. Nothing happens. So God showed everybody in the Colosseum, he showed the emperor that he was not done with John yet. So the emperor was very frustrated, right? It's like, because he wasn't able to kill him. What he did was he exiled John to a penal island of Patmos. So it's a prison, but instead of walls, what they do is they, you know, go by, sail by an island and just drop the prisoners off with no way to get off this island.
They can
swim. Huh?
Swim.
No, well, can you swim 67 miles?
Don't say that. No.
No?
Please, never again.
Oh.
Never again.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's what it was. I didn't even see it.
No, you that. Did it here in high school. That's all they say.
I'm sorry, that was just a slip. That was a Ferguson. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. No more. I said 67.
No,
it's they still.
Okay, 70 miles. Nobody can. Anybody swim 70 miles? Because it was about 70 miles. Right. There's all kinds of things. Did you ever hear of Alcatraz?
Yes, I want to go and explore it.
To explore it? You know, they made it there so that, and they always give prisoners hot showers. The reason why is because the water is cold, so they wouldn't be used to it. So they wouldn't really want to swim away. But did you also know that Australia was a penal colony for the United Kingdom? What is penal is, good question, is a place where they sent prisoners and political people that were exiled. So a penal means a prison, basically, is where they sent all the criminals. So the United Kingdom sent all their criminals to Australia.
Oh, no.
Did you further know that when Napoleon was removed from power, he wasn't executed, he was sent to exile to a similar island. So this is a common thing what they would do. You know, the emperor, more than likely, he did not want John to be a martyr, because what usually happens with martyrs, more people believe.
I thought it was pronounced martyr.
Martyr. Martyr. I don't know. I pronounce things wrongly sometimes. You can go to Patmos today.
Patmos.
Patmos today. You could go look at the island, and they actually even have this place and this cave, and they said this is where the book of Revelation was written. But that's something you could see if you wanted to. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Michaela, you want to read that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near.
So Revelation was written with the idea of being read publicly. So that was the thing that was happening, is all these letters were going to churches, and they'd read it during the church service. And they'd pass around the new letters and take them to other churches. And that's what the plan was for this Revelation, was this book. But it also comes with a promise. Did you see that promise there? Is that whoever reads it will be blessed. Whoever reads it and obeys will be blessed. It means follow along, follow what the instructions are. I shouldn't use the word to... You know, use the definition of a word, but you know, you take what you learn and you follow that. You know, if Jesus wants you to do, let's say, be kind to your parents, you follow that, you're obeying Jesus being kind to your parents. Right? Don't be no sad faces out there. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, I'm coming to Mia. That's not that bad. I know the first word. I'll get the first word started. John. All right.
No, I'm not reading.
You're not reading?
I can read for her.
You can read? Okay.
Down to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne.
I don't got my glasses today.
You did good. You did really good. Yeah. To the church, the seven churches in Asia. So, I don't know about you, does it go to a question, why these churches? Why are they're just these churches? Seven in the Bible is typically thought of as a complete and perfect number. How many days did it take God to make the world? Six days, and he rested on the seventh. So the seventh being a completeness is why people, that's one of the reasons, but everything in sevens is typically thought of in the Bible as a complete and perfect number. So whenever you see seven, that's typically what it's going for. Okay. Right. Okay. That's a good way to teach it. I'm sorry. It didn't even dawn on me. So in Asia, we'll get off the subject. It's in Asia, John is talking about. Does anybody know what part of Asia he's talking about?
In southern part.
He's talking about Turkey. Everybody's heard the country Turkey, right?
Yeah, my mom used to watch a show that was in Turkey.
Oh, really? So there's kind of Rome, it looks like a boot, right? Sicily, right? A boot. And then there's Greece. Then there's Turkey. Then there's the Middle East, which includes Israel, Iraq, Iran.
Huh?
I should. I need to get more tech savvy and have maps.
Turkey has fat.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, they're. Little side note, you know that Troy was in Turkey and Greece in the big Trojan War?
Yeah.
But it's across the sea. There's a sea right there. So there's that, and so Turkey's kind of right in the middle of the known world. That's the point. So being that, there's a lot of trade routes, because people selling goods from here to there, there to here. So there's a lot of trade routes, which means is that there's a lot of people walking those roads. There's a lot of things happening. Those cities are very important. Right? So there's these cities are very busy and very, you know, known, and they get information crossed a lot. And then we also read why these seven churches is because in the letter we'll find out later is that he talks about the church's strengths and weaknesses. In all these seven churches, it kind of makes a model of churches today. Say, that doesn't seem right, you know, I mean, but it talks about things they could improve on. It talks about things they should stay away from. But everything, what's happening in these churches are still happening today. You know, not the exact same thing, but, you know, the characteristics of it. Now, this verse also talks about Jesus. Because he is the one, what he who is, today Jesus is God, right? He who was, back then Jesus was God. He who is to come, you know what? Tomorrow Jesus is going to be who? God, right? He's always going to be God, right? He's still God. Right. Jesus is not just a historic figure that, you know, we have to look in some dusty old book, see what's happening, right? And we can only read about. He's present with us today.
All the time, everywhere.
right? And he will return in the future. That's a guarantee. Now, it talks about the seven spirits, right? And this is going to be our first thing that isn't fully explained. You know, people are divided. John could be talking about the seven angels that look after these seven churches. And we'll read about that more, about these angels. Or it could be the seven characteristics of a Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. You know, making the Holy Spirit perfect. Because seven represents what?
Six.
A perfect number, a complete number. Some people lean this way, some people lean that way. And I don't think leaning one way or another is going to question or going to affect salvation on this issue. You know, it's nice to know. It's always nice to be right, isn't it? It's always nice to be right. But it's better to know Jesus. It's always better to know Jesus. Well, that's good. That's typical. Yeah. So when we get to a place in the Bible where we don't know which way to lean, it's best to read on, not stop. Because we need to get a bigger picture of what they're talking about. Right? So the more verses we read, we know what's kind of going on. So we need to continue reading to make our decision on that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Michelle? So Jesus is faithful. He's always faithful. He wants to give us grace and peace. Now, firstborn from the dead. Jesus wasn't the very first person to ever be resurrected. There was quite a few people what came back from the dead. However, he is the first to never die again. You know, all those people what were resurrected, they had to die again. Jesus never died again. And that's what he's saying, is that the firstborn.
He died twice.
Huh?
He died once.
He died once, and he's never going to die again.
But I thought he got resurrected, though, so that means he died twice.
Huh?
He got resurrected, so that means he died twice.
No, because he hasn't died yet, right? He'll last forever. Right? So he only died once. He rules over everybody. Nobody's above him. You know, and this is why we could trust in his promise. Because nobody can stop him from making things happen. He washed our sins away. Right? He washed them away by his blood, by his sacrifice. He's made it so that we are forgiven. Not that we can be forgiven, is that we are forgiven. You know, he's also given us power over sin. If we choose him, we have power over sin. It doesn't have power over us. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glorified in dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus is ready to adopt us.
I'm adopted?
Into his royal family. To his royal family, right? With privileges. That's how much he loves us, right? And his reign will last forever and ever. You know, the thing about, again, there's a lot of verses, and I was told this whenever I was asked to be a youth leader. It's like, it seems so daunting. It's like, what do I talk about? How much do I tell you guys? And just in a little bit of verses, there is so much there. I barely even scratched the surface. I mean, we could have went deeper in these verses, and it was only 6 verses. But know that there's so much there. There's so much in the Bible. Yeah, we're done. It's bigger than that. We haven't even finished chapter 1. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. James.
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
So the enemy wants us to be intimidated and fear God. He wants to lie to us. He wants us not to study or not to know God. But know that God loves us no matter what. No matter what we've done in the past, He still loves us. And He desperately wants you guys to know Him. So we're on closes in prayer, but it is the first of the month, so we don't have communion. Yay. All right, Michelle, can you close us in prayer?
Please just be with her, be with the doctor, and let them have a good game plan. Protect her, Lord. We love you so much.